ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सदाशिवसमारंभां व्यासशंकरमध्यमां अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वंदे गुरुपरंपरा ओम आप्यायन्तु ममांगानि वाक् प्राणश्चक्षुश्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्म उपनिषदम् माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्याम् मामा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणं मे अस्तु तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्मास्ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः सो टुडे we have to do the third section of the Chandogya Upanishad, the first chapter of the Chandogya Upanishad. And we know very well that all these chapters and all these sections, the Upasanam is the main topic of discussion. And then Udgita Upasanam is prescribed in all these chapters. And in this third chapter, the third chapter, totally five meditations are discussed in this whole of this third section. Tritiya Khande Prathama Adhyaye, the third section of the first chapter, there are five meditations discussed. Of the five, we have already seen the first meditation. The first one meditation is the meditation upon the Adityaha, Surya Devata. So when the Surya Devata happens to be the sun god, happens to be the objective, part of the objective universe, it's called Adi Daiva Upasanam. If the object of meditation is something belonging to the objective universe, we call it Adi Daiva Upasanam. Aditya Upasanam. And Adityaha, the sun god, Devata, is invoked upon Udgitaha. Therefore, Surya or Aditya Pratika Udgita Upasanam was the first Upasanam, first meditation. And then, as I said, the connection between why Aditya imitated upon the Surya, the Udgitaha. And I said the reasons, the three factors which are comparable, between the sun and the Om Udgita. Therefore, Udgitaha is the alambanam wherein Aditya Devata is invoked. First meditation is what? Aditya Pratika Udgita Upasanam. That is the first Upasanam which we had seen, I think, few classes ago. And afterwards, that is in the first mantra. And whoever practices that meditation will have the clarity of vision, clarity of thought. That's the benefit of that meditation. Then second meditation is, in the second Upasanam, the prana and suryaha, the individual pranaha, adi adhyatmam, and suryaha, the adi daivam, the both are majored upon the Udgita. The second meditation is something different, wherein this both Adi Daivam and adhyatmam, the prana as well as the individual prana as well as Surya Devata, Aditya Devata, both are invoked upon the Utudgitaha. That is second upasanam. That is discussed where in the second and second mantra. So first mantra, the first meditation in the third section is what deals with the meditation upon the Surya Devata. And Surya Devata is invoked upon Udgita. And in second mantra discusses the meditation, what? Meditation upon Prana as well as Suryaha. Both are meditated upon Udgita, that is discussed in the second mantra. And the third, fourth and fifth, three mantras. Mantra number 3, 4 and 5. In three mantras discuss meditation upon, there's a meditation upon the Vyana Pranaha, Vyanaha. So Vyana Pratika Udgita Upasanam is discussed in three mantras, 3, 4 and 5. Let us read it now. 3, 4 and 5, three mantras of the third section discuss the Vyana Upasanam. Vyana Upasanam, that of Vyana Pratika Udgita Upasanam. Udgitaha, the Udgitaha is what? Udgitaha is another name for Omkaraha in the Samaveda. Should not forget this. Udgita is known as, the Omkaraha is known as Udgitaha in Samaveda Upanishads. Therefore, when you say Udgita Upasana, Udgita is the Alambanam. Omkaraha is the Alambanam, the symbol upon which or in which here the Vyana Prana, Vyanaha is invoked. Who is Devata here? Vyanaha. Again, Vyashti. Vyanaha, when you say, in the, of the five physiological functions, Pranaha, Apanaha, Vyanaha, Samanaha, Udanaha, the Vyana is the prana, which is taken as an object of meditation in the third meditation. Okay, where in the third section, there are five meditations. And the third meditation, the third section is Vyana Pratika Udgita Upasanam. When you say Vyana Pratika Udgita Upasanam, it means Vyana is the object of meditation and the Alambanam is Udgitaha. In the Udgita, you are invoking the Vyana Prana, Vyanaha. And here, how the Upanishad presents, we can read the mantra quickly once, where this Upasanam is covered in the three mantras, 3, 4 and 5. See the read the mantra now. Athakalu, athakalu, vyanameva, vyanameva, udgitham upasita, vyanameva udgitham upasita. So this third section of the first chapter of the Chandogya Upanishad, the third mantra discusses the third, fourth and the fifth, the three mantras discuss one meditation. The meditation upon the Vyanaha. You know, Vyana is one of the five physiological functions. And the Vyana is the name given to the vital air governing the function of circulation. Vyanaha is the name given to the vital air governing the function of circulation. That Vyana here is meditated upon Udgitaha. So here, and praniti saha pranaha, yad apaniti saha apanaha. And here Upanishad presents, this Vyana comes in between the prana and apanaha. Vyana is said to be in between pranaha and apanaha. Atha யஹ பிராண அபானயோகோ சந்திஹி. பிராண அபானயோகோ சந்திஹி மீன்ஸ் வாட்? திஸ் வியான பிராணா இஸ் லுக்ட் அப்பான் அஸ் தி ஜங்ஷன் பிட்வீன் தி பிராணா அண்ட் அபானஹா. விச் மீன்ஸ் ஐ வாண்ட் டு அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் திஸ். பிராணஹா மீன்ஸ் பிராகமனவான் வாயுஹோ பிராணஹா. பிராகமனவான் வாயுஹோ பிராணஹா மீன்ஸ் ஹியர் தி ஃபங்க்ஷன் ஆஃப் எக்ஸலேஷன். இன் தி ஃபங்க்ஷன் ஆஃப் ரெஸ்பிரேஷன் தர் இஸ் எக்ஸலேஷன் கால்ட் நிஷ்வாசக. நிஷ்வாசக மீன்ஸ் எக்ஸலேஷன் இஸ் கால்ட் பிராணஹா. அண்ட் அபானஹா மீன்ஸ் அதோகமனவான் வாயு அபானஹா. அதோகமனவான் வாயு அபானஹா. பிராகமனவான் வாயு பிராணஹா. சோ தட் விச் கோஸ் அவுட், தட் விச் எக்ஸ்ஹேல்ட் இஸ் கால்டு பிராணா, அண்ட் தட் விச் இஸ் இன்ஹேல்ட் இஸ் கால்டு அபானா. ஓகே, இன் திஸ் கான்டெக்ஸ்ட் சப்டிஸ் வேர்ட் அபானா மே மீன் டிஃபரெண்ட், பட் ஹியர் அபானஹா மீன்ஸ் தட் விச் இஸ் இன்ஹேல்டு இன். Prana means that which is exhaled out. Therefore, these pranas, when the prana is inhaled in, when the air, oxygen is inhaled in, it's called what? Apanaha. Adogamanavan, that which is going in, is called adogamanavan. And that is oxygen is inhaled in. When what happens now? All the lung, the entire, both the lungs remain or become filled. So apana fills the lungs with the oxygen. It was called what now? Puraka pranaha. Purakam. When the apanaha, the adogamanavan vayuhu, the through the function of inhalation, when the oxygen is filled in the lungs, it's called what? Purakam. Filling. Then after filling, what happens? Then the oxygen is retained in the lungs. Then the retaining the oxygen in the lungs, keeping the lungs filled is called what? Kumbhakam. Holding the breath is called kumbhakam. Filling the lungs with the oxygen is called purakam. Kumbhakam then. Afterwards, then when the pranaha means pragamanavan vayuhu pranaha, when the carbon dioxide is exhaled out, is called what now? That function is done. The exhalation of carbon dioxide from the lungs is called what? Pranaha, pragamanavan vayuhu. Then it is, the lungs become emptied. So emptying is called what now? Rechakam. So rechakam means emptying the lungs, purakam means filling the lungs, and kumbhakam means holding the breath. Without filling, without emptying, then holding the breath is called kumbhakam. That kumbhaka shaktihi, the function of holding the breath, the kumbhaka shaktihi is what? Dhyanaha. So vyana is the sandhihi, is the meeting point of prana and apana. Apana and prana meet where? In the vyana. Why? Because the kumbhakam, the holding of the breath after the inhalation, before the exhalation, the prana is held, the vayu is held, the air, oxygen is held, the breath is held by the vyana prana kumbhakam, kumbhaka shaktihi. And this, because of this kumbhaka shakti alone, kumbhakam, that's why he says here, saha vyanaha yaha vyanaha. Okay, why? Because sa vak, and it is because of this vyana. Why vyana is specially invoked here? Look at this. Because of the holding of the breath alone, he says, the speech is possible. The organ of function is capable of functioning as the organ of speech. The act of speaking is possible because of the kumbhakam. Every time you are speaking, there is, the air is now held, the breath is held. And if for singing, for speaking, you need kumbhaka shakti. You need the blessing of the vyana. Then, not only that, tasmat pranan apanan vacham abhivyaharati. Because of this kumbhakam alone, even exhaling, inhaling also, we are able to speak because of the vyana, kumbhaka, because of the vyana prana. Okay, because of this vyana, there is kumbhaka shakti, the breath is held. Because of that alone, we are able to speak even while, you know, exhaling and also inhaling, we are able to speak. The speaking is possible because of the vyana. Okay? Then, not only that, even for walking, and also running, all the actions. In fact, here we can say, here he mentions actually, not only for this, even for walking. The next mantra he says, yasmat walk asmat pranan apanan richam abhivyaharati yaktat sama tasmat pranan apanan samagayati yat sama sa udgitaha tasmat pranan apanan udgayati. So the second mantra he says, the fourth mantra he says, it is because of the kumbhaka shakti, because you are able to hold the breath alone, it is possible for us even to recite the rik mantra, to sing the sama mantra. So singing, reciting, speaking, anything is possible because of the blessing of vyana, obtaining in the form of kumbhakam, kumbhaka shakti. Tatha vag, okay. Then the fifth mantra, it is said, anyani viryavanti karmani. So, viryavanti karmani, but all the physical activities which require strength, physical stamina, energy, strength, all the actions, viryavanti karmani, all these, I have told you already, we are not going to do every word. I'll make it very clear for you. Viryavanti karmani means all the activities which require physical stamina, physical strength, and also what? The strength. All those activities are possible only because of the blessing of the vyanaha. Vyanaha obtaining in the form of kumbhaka shakti, the breath control. So what he says, yani viryavanti karmani. And he gives an example here, yatha agnehe matanam. Agnehe matanam. He gives the example. What are all the viryavanti karmani we are doing? See, during the Vedic period, whenever we perform the ritual, see, first he said what? Speaking, singing, reciting. All these are involved, but now all these are done by the organ of speech. Speaking, reciting, singing, all these are possible because of the blessing of Vyanaha. Point one. The second he says, agnehe mathanam. See, in those days, whenever they had to perform the rituals and they had to kindle fire. To kindle the fire, they had to do something called Arani Mathanam. Arani, he means there's a big piece of wood, okay? And they have to use that wood. Wood, inside there's a small cup like wood. Into they put another wood and they will do this fast so that the fire sparks will come. They'll reproduce the first fire called Agni Mathanam. So production of fire by churning the Arani. And even for that you need what? Strength, which means even to do anything with your hands also you need stamina and strength. Arani Mathanam is churning of the Arani is only an example to say all the activities which you have to do with your two hands also need what? Lot of strength. That is also because of the breath control, the Kumbhaka Shakti. And after, what's Kumbhaka Shakti? Vyanaha, obtaining in the form of Kumbhakam alone, makes it possible that you are able to do anything with your hands. This is so organ of speech and also hands. And then with the hands, he gives one more example here. Saranam dridhasya dhanushaha ayamanam. Dhanushaha ayamanam means even, you know, the bringing, when suppose in shooting the arrows, you have to pull the string. It's called what now? It's called dhanushaha ayamanam. Dhanushaha ayamanam means what now? Even to pull the string with all strength, thereby you can shoot the object, targeted object correctly. You have to forcefully pull the string behind so that the shooting can happen. The arrow can go and shoot the right, correct object. And that also needs what now? Strength, physical strength. So anything you do with your hands also needs the strength, and that strength is possible because the blessing of the Vyana obtaining in the form of Kumbhaka Shakti. Therefore, he gives his three examples. So running, walking, talking, reciting, singing. Not only that, also this, you know, anything you do with your hands, such as Arani Matanam, churning of the Arani, and you know, the Dhanushaha Ayamanam, the pulling of the string forcefully to shoot the arrow, etc. And all these activities are possible. Viryavanti Karmani means strength requiring activities. Viryavanti Karmani means strength requiring activities. All these activities are possible because of the strength blessed by the Kumbhaka Shakti, and which is nothing, the Vyana Prana, Vyanaha obtained of Kumbhaka Shakti. Okay, therefore what? Therefore this is the glory of Vyana. It is only because of the blessing of Vyanaha, who is in between, who obtained of the Kumbhakam, the breath control. Okay, and which happens when? Before the inhalation also, you have this what? This Kumbhakam. After the inhalation, before the exhalation, there is some Kumbhakam. After the exhalation, before the inhalation, there's a Kumbhakam. Okay, that Kumbhakam means, you know, keeping the breath without allowing it to go out, without inhaling, exhaling, keeping the breath, is called, holding the breath is called Kumbhakam. And that is possible because of the Vyanaha. And that is how all our physical all the strength requiring activities are possible in terms of singing, speaking, reciting, walking, anything you do with the hands, running, etc. are all possible. And he gives two examples of what? Even the pulling the string of the bow is possible. Shooting the correct object is possible. And also, the churning of the wooden churning. Churning the Arani is also possible not to produce the fire. All these activities are possible only because of the blessing of Yana obtaining in the form of breath control, the Kumbhakam. Therefore, and such a glorious Yana is to be meditated upon here in the invoked in this Udgita. This is called what? Vyana Pratika Udgita Upasanam. That is discussed in the three mantras, third, fourth, and fifth. Finished. One Upasanam is over. Third, fourth, and the fifth. Now, the sixth mantra. After the Vyana Pratika Udgita Upasanam, we are moving on to the next meditation, next Upasanam. What is the next Upasanam? Next Upasanam is actually Udgita Akshara Upasanam. Next Upasanam is called what? Udgita Akshara Upasanam is discussed in mantras 6th and 7th. Udgita Akshara Upasanam is the next meditation discussed in mantra 6th and the 7th. Please remember, I told you very clearly before, these Upasanams, these meditations, we are only studying just for sake of understanding. Now we are not going to practice these meditations. Okay? But understanding each meditation, you understand, you are made to think the glory of every small thing. Have you ever thought of, you know, what is the vital air doing in terms of, you know, known as Vyanaha? Only one vital air is involved in the function of circulation of the blood all over the body, which governs the circulatory system. Because of this blood circulation alone, the breath control is possible. Breath control means what? After the inhalation, before the exhalation, you stop inhalation, exhalation, able to hold the breath. Very, very quickly it happens. Again, after the exhalation, before the inhalation also, you can able to hold the breath. And that is called what? Kumbhakam. Kumbhaka Shaktihi. The power of holding the breath without inhaling, exhaling. That happens when? Before the exhalation, after the exhalation. In between exhalation, exhalation, inhalation. In between inhalation, exhalation, this holding of the breath is happening. And that is possible because Kumbhaka Shakti, the power of holding the breath is possible because of the circulation of the blood, and which is blessed by the Vyana. Therefore, Vyana is a glorious thing. And because of this Kumbhaka Shakti alone, all the activities which require the strength requiring activities, Viryavanti Karmani, are all possible. So he gives the example of water you have to hold, do with the hands, forcefully, walking, running is possible, speaking is possible, singing is possible, talking is possible, reciting is possible. So this is how a small prana, the small function, this vital air, how important it is, we are made to see here. Whether you are practicing meditation or not, it is nice to understand the details of this each power. Anyway, so this is discussed in the three mantras, third, fourth, and the fifth. Now we are moving on to the next Upasanam. It's in the fourth meditation. In the sixth and the seventh, two mantras discuss Udgita Akshara Upasanam. Aksharam means letter. Aksharam means a syllable. Okay, and here you take the word Udgitaha. Udgitam, if you take the word Udgitam, we have three syllables there. What are three syllables? Ut, Gi, Tham. Ut, Gi, and Tham. are the three syllables, three aksharani. Okay, ut, gi, tham are three syllables. These three syllables, three letters constitute, three aksharani constitute one word, udgitham. Okay, and udgita akshara upasana means we are going to invoke what now? These three syllables which form this word udgitam are taken as the alambanani. We are not meditating upon omkara here. Please understand, omkaraha is known as udgitaha in Samaveda. Now we are taking the word udgitaha, and that word udgitaha consists of three syllables, trini aksharani, ut, gi, and tham. And these three syllables are taken as three alambanani, three symbols. And upon each symbol, upon each letter, each syllable, which functions as an alambanam, we are going to invoke one given devata. Which means, we are going simultaneously, we are going to invoke three devatas upon these three letters. Okay? Deity, devata, traya, avahanam. Trishu aksharesu devatatraya avahanam. Three deities, deity triad, okay? Three deities are simultaneously invoked upon three letters, three syllables, which constitute this one word, udgitam. So what are three symbols now? Three alambanani, ut, gi, tham. Like that, three devatas are invoked. And now here, Upanishad is, it's a one, the four, here, the 12 devatas are invoked upon these three syllables. Let us see that first now. The first. Let us see the, let us read the mantra, sixth mantra now. Athakalu, athakalu, udgita, aksharani, upasita, athakalu, udgita, aksharani, upasita. Now, here, then, may one meditate upon what now? Udgita aksharani. Udgi aksharam, aksharani means what? Trini aksharani. The three syllables. Ut, gi, and tham. So these three should be taken as alambanani, the support symbols. Here we have nothing to do with omkara here. The very word udgita is taken. First, pranayeva utpranena uttishtati vagir vachaha ha gira ityachakshate annam tham anne hi idam sarvam sthitam. And what are the first mantra says? What are the three devatas invoked first? Let me tell you here. The first set of devatas, there are four set of devatas. Four set of three devatas are going to be invoked here. Totally 12 devatas are invoked upon these three alambanani, three symbols, three syllables. The first set of devatas are pranaha, vak, annam. Pranaha, vak, annam. So prana is one devata, vak is another devata, annam is another devata. These three are invoked upon what? Ut, gi, and tham respectively. This is said in the first mantra. Look at this. Pranaha is invoked upon ut. Ut is a symbol. Ut syllable is the symbol in which, upon which Prana Devata is invoked. Pranaha. Then Ghee is the symbol in which walk is invoked. Then Tham is the symbol in which Annam, Anna Devata is, Annam is invoked. Why Prana is invoked, walk is invoked, Annam is invoked? Because each Devata is highly glorious here. It is only because of Prana, very life is possible. Getting up, walking, movement, motion, life is possible because of Prana. Your Prana is invoked upon the Ut. Then, walk is invoked upon the Ghee. Why? Because of the walk alone, what? Communication is possible. Expression of ideas is possible. Then, Annam is invoked upon Tham. Is it? Udgi Tham. Tham is the symbol, the syllable which is taken as an alambanam in which Annam is invoked. Why? Because it is the food. Without food, there cannot be something called Prana. Is it? So, therefore, Annam, food is, everything is based on food. Without food, no energy is possible. Without energy, no activity is possible. No life is possible. Therefore, when you say Utgitham are three syllables taken as three symbols in which three devatas are invoked. The first set of devatas invoked are Pranaha, Vak and Annam. So Shankara Bhagavatpada says, all the exalted devatas, Prana is the exalted here. The next one, invoked upon the Ut. The next set of devatas are called what now? Dyauhu, Antariksham, Prithivi. Dyauhu, Antariksham, Prithivi. So that you can read the mantra. Dyau revo dantariksham. Gihi Dyauhu Eva Ut. Dyauhu Eva Ut. Antariksham Gihi Prithivi Tham. Understand? Dyauhu Eva Ut. Antariksham Gihi Prithivi Tham. The next set of devatas, three devatas, invoked upon these three syllables are Dyauhu Antariksham Prithivi. Dyauhu means Swargaha, heaven, higher world. Antariksham, okay, you can say Dyauhu is equal to Suvaha. Antariksha means Bhuvaha, the intermediary space. And Prithivi means Bhuhu. So you can say Dyauhu Antariksham Prithivi are the three worlds are invoked upon three syllables. Ut, Gi and Tham respectively. And what are they? Dyauhu Antariksham Prithivi are what now? Suvaha, Bhuvaha, Bhuhu. You put in different order. Bhur, Bhuva, Suvaha. So what is Bhuhu? Bhuhu means Prithivi, the earth, the world of mortals, where we are all. And Bhuvaha is Antariksham, intermediary space which connects this world and the higher world, Suvaha. Suvaha is higher world. There were three worlds here. Suvaha, Bhuvaha, Bhuhu are known as here what now? Dyauhu, Antariksham, Prithivi. And these three are invoked upon what? Ut upon Dyauhu is invoked upon Ut. Antariksham Bhuvaha is invoked upon Gihi. And Prithivi Bhuloka is invoked upon Tham. Okay, this is next. Then afterwards, The third set of devatas invoked are Adityaha, Vayuhu, Agnihi. Adityaha, Vayuhu, Agnihi. Adityaha means sun god, you know that. Aditya Devata is invoked upon, mated upon Uvut, and Vayu Devata is mated upon Ghee, and Agni Devata is mated upon Tham. Please don't forget Uvut, Ghee, Tham are the three syllables which form the Udgitham. And therefore the Udgita Aksharani, the syllables which form the word Udgitam, are taken as the Alambanani here. Don't forget that. So Aditya, Vayuhu and Agnihi are respectively invoked, mated upon Udgi and Tham. Again, who Adityaha? Aditya is the light and the heat of the heat above. And Agni is the light and heat here in this world. And Vayuhu, you know, actually really connects both. So here Adityaha, Vayuhu and Agni are the devatas invoked upon these three. Third set of devatas. And the fourth set of devatas, three devatas invoked upon these three syllables are Samavedaha, Yajurvedaha and Rigvedaha. Sama, Yajur, Rigvedas are respectively mated upon Ut, Gi and Tham. So Ut, Gi and Tham, the three syllables which constitute this word Udgitham are taken as Alambanani symbols in which all these three, a set of three devatas, four sets of each set of three devatas invoked upon. Totally 12 devatas are mated upon these three syllables. Now we can say, see, Ut means Shankara says, Ut is something which is exalted, superior, higher, the great in nature. Okay, something higher is called Ut. And the Ghee stands for something in between, middle. And Tham means Adhishtanam. Adhishtanam means what is Tham? Stands for something which is the basis. Here, we take the last one. Samavedaha is something very exalted. But still, Samaveda is what? Samaveda is sung. It is so exalted. But Samaveda has basis where all the Rig Mantras alone become Samaveda. Therefore, Samaveda's basis for Samaveda is the Rig Veda. Uttam. And in between comes what now? Yajurvedaha. Similarly, Adityaha is exalted Devata, which is now high above. But still, what is in between is what? Vayuhu. And Agni is the basis. With Agni is the element for the sun also. Similarly, Dyauhu Antariksham Prithivi. Dyauhu Swargaha is the exalted of the worlds. Then, basis to go to Swarga Loka, you must be living as a human being in this world. It is impossible for one to go to Swargaloka without having lived a life as a human being in this world. Basis is Prithivi, Bhuloka. Nobody can straightaway go to Swargaloka. One must earn Punyam to go to Swargaloka. And to be able to go to earn Punyam, one must have performed rituals. And to do all, one must have been born a human being in this world. Therefore, Prithivi is the basis for Swargaloka also. Therefore, it's voted upon Tham. And what in between this water which connects both these worlds here, higher world and this world, intermediary space, Antariksham. Similarly, Pranaha, Vak, Annam. Prana is the exalted. Prana is the energy But for that energy, what is the basis? Food is the basis. And because of this energy, in between is what now? Walk. Walk implies even the knowledge, the manifestation of knowledge. Okay? Therefore, walk, the word. Word, walk means word, and word implies what? The manifestation of knowledge, expression of the manifestation of knowledge. Therefore, here, what he wants to say is, the wood stands for something exalted, geese stand for something which is in between, the middle, and the thumb stands for something which is the basis for the other two. The first one, wood. Anyway, totally there are four sets of three devatas invoked upon three syllables of this word Udgitam. Ut, Gi and Tham. Totally there are 12 devatas invoked. Therefore, this meditation is called what? Udgita Akshara Upasanam. The Udgita Akshara Upasanam is discussed in these two mantras, 6th and 7th. And even though the previous Upasams, Upanishad does not mention the benefit of meditation, what is the benefit of meditation? So whatever meditation you are practicing, you will be blessed with the grace of that Devata. And here Upanishad mentions very clearly, Dugdesmai Vag Doham Yo Vachaha Doha Annavan Annado Bhavati. Yaha etani evam vidvan udgita aksharani upasta udgita iti. See what happened for such a person, whoever practices this udgita akshara upasanam, is all this, you know, actually even though four sets of three devatas are invoked upon these three syllables of one word Udgita, it is the whole one meditation this is. It forms the one meditation. Whoever practices this Udgita Akshara Upasanam, he'll be blessed with what? Clarity of speech, the communicative skill. He can communicate clearly his vision. He can communicate his ideas clearly. Therefore, he can be understood by people very clearly. That is one benefit. Not only that, and he will be blessed with abundance of wealth, abundance of food. And not only that, he will be able to enjoy whatever he is blessed with. Sometimes people may be born rich, but they will not be able to enjoy the wealth they are endowed with. He'll be stuck somewhere. So this person who practices this meditation will be blessed with wealth, will be blessed with abundance of food, and not only he'll be blessed with the food and wealth, he'll be blessed with the capacity to enjoy them also. He'll also be the enjoyer of what he possesses. Annavan, annadaha bhavati. Annavan bhavati, annadaha bhavati. He becomes the one endowed with the food, and also what? He becomes the one who enjoyer of all that he's endowed with. And not only that, he will be able to communicate clearly all his ideas and views. Okay? Like he can put across things very clearly. And that is something very important. And this is the benefit of this meditation. Okay. This is one thing. Then, with this, in the 6th and 7th mantra, Udgita Akshara Upasanam also is over. How many Upasanams are over now? Prana Pratika Udgita Upasanam. Aditya Pratika Udgita Upasanam, number one. Then Aditya Prana Aditya Udgita Upasanams, number two. Then we saw Vyana Pratika Udgita Upasanam, number three. Then Udgita Akshara Upasanam, number four. Four meditations are here. Then the last meditation discussed here is what now? The 5th meditation. And which goes from what now? Rest of the mantras. after the fifth and sixth and the seventh, how many mantras are there? 8th to the 11th. There are totally 12 mantras in the third section. Hereafter we have to go a little fast, or we can cover these chapters quickly. We can go to 6th chapter soon, which is our actual topic, subject matter. In our actual subject matter is only the 6th chapter. So we have to go quickly. And the next meditation, the 5th meditation discussed here, is from the 8th to the 12th. From the 8th till the 12th. All these mantras, Upanishad presents one meditation. That meditation is what now? Actually, Kama Purti Upasanam. Kama Purti Upasanam. So, Kama Purti Upasanam is discussed in the mantras from the 8th to the 12th. The 5th meditation. Kamaha means desire, wish. Purtihi means fulfillment. So this meditation is called Kama Purti Upasanam, wish fulfilling meditation. The wish fulfilling meditation, the meditation which contributes for the fulfillment of desires. If we practice this meditation, our desires will be fulfilled. Therefore, what now? This meditation is called wish fulfilling meditation, or the meditation which contributes for the fulfillment of our desires. It's called Kama Purti Upasanam. This is discussed in 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th and 12th. With the 12th mantra, the section is over. 12 mantras. So, here, very simple thing here, is nothing difficult. See, when we, here it says, whoever practices any, when a person performs rituals, please remember, these meditations are not for us. We are talking about the people of Vedic times. Those days, whoever was involved in performing any ritual, and they used to recite the Sama Mantras. They are supposed to sing the Sama Mantras during the performance of ritual. And when they sing the mantras of Samaveda, now they invoke the grace of many devatas. So many devatas are there. So many natural phenomena are there. They recite the Sama Mantras in order to invoke the grace of different devatas when they perform rituals. So whenever people perform rituals, and they used to sing Sama Mantras, and they sing in praise of the different devatas, invoking the grace of different devatas. So before they recite the mantras, invoking the different devatas, grace of different devatas, they are supposed to focus on 9 factors. If they, before they start reciting the Sama Mantras, in order to invoke the grace of devatas during the performance of rituals, if they focus on 9 factors, visualize upon the 9 factors, then they say what now? Their ritual will be effective. Thereby, they will be blessed with the fulfillment of their wishes and desires. What does Upanishad say? If a person focuses the attention on 9 factors, before he starts reciting the mantras, singing the mantras, in order to invoke the grace of devatas during the performance of rituals, then his ritual will be effective. thereby he will be blessed with the fulfillment of all his wishes and desires. The word is called what now? Kama Purti Upasanam. And what are the 9 factors that this person who sings the Kama Mantras is supposed to focus on? He should visualize upon 9 factors. One by one, he should visualize. Now, suppose I want to perform a ritual. Now, I'm going to invoke the grace of Devatas. I want to recite the mantras. Before I start reciting, singing the mantras, I should sit quietly, calmly, close my eyes, and visualize one by one upon 9 factors. What are the 9 factors? Look at this. His first thing he says, Sama. Number 1 is what? Sama. The first factor this person should focus on, visualize upon, the Sama. It's called Sama Dhyanam. What is Sama Dhyanam? Sama Dhyanam means, before he starts his work, singing in praise of the Devatas, he first visualizes what is that particular Sama Mantra I'm going to recite. It's like, no, before you start the program, you put the agenda, no, like that. What is the Sama Mantra I'm going to recite? He has to dwell upon it. Suppose if there's a function, now we have a function, Arshavidya UK function, and suppose we are planning. Okay, now what should we do first? First is a prayer. And what should be the prayer song? Okay, we'll sing this Sahana Avatu as the prayer. And we visualize upon Sahana Avatu. Understand? Like that. Here also, the Samadhyana means this person, he visualizes, he focuses attention on the mantra, the first mantra which he is going to sing. The first mantra of the portion he is going to sing. That's the first part of Sama Dhyanam. Then second is after Sama is called what? Stoma. Stoma. After Sama, next factor is what? Stoma. Stoma means the continuation of the other mantras connected to the first mantra. If I say, let us all recite Dhyana Shlokas, beginning with Parthaya Pratibodhitam. If I say, after the Parthaya, first you visualize upon Parthaya Pratibodhitam, then you should remember what is the next one. Then the third mantra, third one, fourth one, like that. We'll think of all the 9 Dhyana Shlokas, isn't it? So, like that, visualizing upon, meditating upon the first mantra is called Samadhyanam. Then later on, meditating upon all the following mantras which are associated with the connected to the first mantra is called Stoma Dhyanam. Stoma means the continuation of the mantras which go along with the first mantra. First Sama Mantra is called Stoma. So a group of mantras, a set of mantras which go along with the first mantra is called Stoma. Then you meditate upon, one has meditated upon all the mantras which go along with the first mantra. It's called Stoma Dhyanam. Stoma. Sama Dhyanam, Stoma Dhyanam. Nothing difficult. Just visualizing, you know, upon those mantras. Then, the next is Rik. Rik. One has to Rik mantra. See, whichever Sama Mantra a person chooses to recite, sing, he should remember the fact this Sama Mantra I am going to sing now is actually already what the mantra obtaining in the Rigveda. Rigveda mantra alone is set to tunes, become Samaveda mantra. So Sama Mantra has its basis in the Rigveda mantra, Rigvedaha. Any Sama Mantra is nothing but Rigveda Mantra originally. Remembering this fact of Rigveda mantra being the basis for Samaveda mantra is what? Is the third factor, Rik. Rik dhyanam. Rik dhyanam means what? Remembering the fact that Sam mantra is basically, originally a Rigveda mantra. It's called what? Rig dhyanam. Third factor is Rik. And the fourth factor is Rishihi. Fourth factor is called Rishihi. What is Rishihi here? Rishihi means before, when a person wants to recite a given set of Hum mantras, he sees first what is the first mantra. Thereafter, he sees what are all the mantra which has been recited along with the first mantra. Then he remembers the fact all these mantras originally from the Rigveda. The fourth fact is what? The Rishi, he remembers. Who is the Rishi of this mantra? Like example I give you, when you are chanting the Gayatri mantra, remember the fact what? Om Bhurbhuvah Svaha Tat Savitur-Vareenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Dhyo Yona Prachodayat. This is the mantra. You should know what? This is a mantra called Savitri Mantra. Savitri Mantra obtaining in Gayatri meter for which Rishi is Vishwamitraha. This mantra was revealed to the Rishi Vishwamitraha. Vishwamitra is the Rishi of this Savitri Mantra in Gayatri meter. Understand? So here you should know what is the, who is the Rishihi. Like that here also, this person who is going to, who wants to recite some mantras for in performing a ritual should remember this also what visualize upon the Rishihi of the particular, the some mantra Rishihi. And not only Rishihi, also know the meter. Now, what is the meter in which the mantra is set? No? Like Savitri mantra. And what is the meter? Gayatri meter. Like that here also, whatever the mantra this person is going to sing, and he should remember, you know the meter. What is called Chandas. Rishihi is the fourth factor. And the Chandas means the meter is the fifth factor. Then, okay, this is the mantra obtaining in this meter. Anushtup meter, Trishtup meter. What is the meter? I should know. Then, Devata. Devata means what now? Like in Gayatri mantra, when you recite the Savitri mantra in Gayatri meter, Devata is Savita, Suryaha. Here also, the person should know the Devata. Devata is the sixth factor. Devata is the sixth factor. And afterwards, the next factor is seventh factor is Dik. Dik. Dik means direction. Now, in which direction, you know, the direction, the Devata is, you know, supposed to be present. Each Devata has its own direction, you know that. Therefore, when you invoke the grace of Surya Devata, the evening means you have to turn west. Morning you have to see that towards the east, isn't it? So, in which direction this Devata is supposed to be present? One should remember that. So, one can face the Devata, that direction, and invoke the grace of the Devata. So, Dik Jnanam, Dik Jnanam. You can't suppose if I won't talk to you, imagine if I turn my head and talk to somebody like this. You won't like it. When I should see you and talk, I should turn this and talk like this. Similarly here also, when we invoke the grace of a Devata in reciting a mantra, we should have the idea, what is the Devata I'm invoking, who is I'm invoking, and where is the Devata supposed to be present. So focusing attention on the aspect of the direction of the Devata is called what? Dik Dhyanam. So, Sama Dhyanam, Soma Dhyanam, ரிக் தியானம், ரிஷி தியானம், சந்தஸ் தியானம், தேவதா தியானம், திக் தியானம், தென் ஃபைனலி ஷோன்ஸ் எவர் வாட் மை காட் ஐ ஆம் தி மெடிடேட்டர், டோன்ட் ஃபர்கெட் யுவர் செல்ஃப். தி பர்சன் ஹூ மெடிடேட் ஷுட் ரிமெம்பர் வாட் ஐ ஆம் ஹியர் ஆஸ் தி மெடிடேட்டர், ஐ ஆம் தி உபாசகா. ஓகே, ரிமெம்பரிங் ஒன்ஸ் ஓன் செல்ஃப் பீயிங் தி மெடிடேட்டர். ஐ ஆம் ஹியர் தி உபாசகா, ஆத்ம தியானம். இதான் ஆத்ம தியானம் இஸ் வாட் நவ் ரிமெம்பரிங் விஷுவலைசிங் அப்பான் ஒன்ஸ் ஓன் செல்ஃப் பீயிங் தி மெடிடேட்டர் இஸ் காட் ஓகே உபாசக ஆர் ஆத்ம தியானம். தென் இஸ் தி எய்த் ஃபேக்டர். தி நைன்த் ஃபேக்டர் வெரி இம்பார்ட்டன்ட். நைன்த் ஃபேக்டர் இஸ் வாட் தி நைன்த் ஃபேக்டர் இஸ் இச்சா, காம, காம தியானம். காம தியானம் இச்சா தியானம் இட் வாட் நவ் தி டிசையர் விச் ஐ வாண்ட் டு ஃபுல்ஃபில், the wish which I want to fulfill. I should visualize upon what is that wish I want to fulfill, what is the desire I want to fulfill. One should meditate upon that. Okay, this is called what now? This is called Ichha Dhyanam or Kama Dhyanam. These are nine factors. So Sama, Soma, Rik, Chandas, ரிஷி, தேவதா, திக், இஸ் இட் திஸ் ஆர் தி நைன் ஃபேக்டர்ஸ் யூ ஹேவ் டு ரிமெம்பர். சோ தட் பிஃபோர் சோ தி வாட் தி உபனிஷத் சேஸ் ஹியர் இஸ் எவ்ரி இன் பர்ஃபார்மிங் எ ரிச்சுவல் டெஃபினெட்லி எ பர்சன் ஹூ இஸ் இன்வால்வ் இன் பர்ஃபார்மன்ஸ் ஆஃப் ரிச்சுவல் பிஃபோர் ஹீ டியூரிங் தி பர்ஃபார்மன்ஸ் ஆஃப் ரிச்சுவல் டெஃபினெட்லி திஸ் பர்சன் மஸ்ட் பி reciting the sama mantras, invoking the grace of so many devatas. And before he starts reciting the singing sama mantras, invoking the grace of the devatas, this person, if he sits quietly and focuses on these nine factors, visualizes upon these nine factors, then he starts performing the ritual, singing the sama mantras, his rituals will be what now? Highly effective, he can get all his wishes, desires fulfilled. But this way, this is called what now? Kama Purti Upasanam, wish fulfilling meditation. That means quietly sitting, very nice thing to do this. But what is the Sama Mantra I am going to recite? And what are all the mantra which follow the first Sama Mantra? And I am sure all these Sama Mantras are basically from the Rig Mantra or nothing but the Rig Mantras only. And this is the Rishihi of this tea time, or Rishi Gurukulam tea time. Bell is ringing. Anyway, so this is the Rishihi Radhaji very sweetest milky tea which you don't like. It's okay. And so, and then this is we have what now? Then Rishihi. Then Rishihi, then what is the meter in which the mantras are? And who is the devata specifically I am invoking in these mantras? Who is the devata I am invoking the grace of? You know, and what is the direction this devata is supposed to be present? Then I also know what now. What is that I am invoking this devata for? What am I invoking the grace of this particular devata for? I want lots of money. I want cattle wealth. I want house. I want jnanam. I want this progeny. I want peaceful atmosphere at home. I want good health. Like what am I invoking this devata for? Being very clear. Okay. So remembering, so focus the attention on these nine factors. visualize upon each factor carefully, and having visualized upon these 9 factors, if a person starts singing Jama mantras during the performance of ritual, then his ritual will be 100% effective, which means he can get all his wishes and desires fulfilled. Therefore, this particular upasana is called what? Kama Purti Upasanam, which is discussed in these following mantras, 8th to the 12th, with which the third section of the Chandogya Upanishad is over. Okay, let us see the mantras quickly. Now you have understood what is the third section. Now you know everything very clearly, no doubt. Athakalu Aashihi Samruddhihi Upasarana Saranani Iti Upasita Yena Samna Stoshyan Chatat Samopadhavet Tatsama Upadhavet. Upadhavet means may one remember, may one think. Okay. Samna Stoshyan Syat Tat Sama Upadhavet. Samruddhi Upasaranani Iti Upasita. Yasyam. First he says Stama. May one, before reciting some mantras, may one remember the fact, what not? What is that Sama mantra I am going to start with? One should meditate upon that. Think about it. Then yes yam ruchi tam richam yada sheyam tam rishim yam devatam abhishtoshyan syat tam devatam upadhavet. So he puts all of them together. Then after remembering the first mantra, may one remember all the mantra which go with those, with that particular sama mantra. It's called Stoma Dhyanam. Not only that, then he also should remember what? He should remember all the sama mantras are originally from Rigveda mantras. Then who is the Rishi of the mantras? Then who is the Devata I'm invoking through these mantras? May one remember all these things. It is said in the 9th mantra. The 10th one, Yena Chandasa Stoshyan Syat Chanda Upadhavet Yena Stomena Stoshyamanaha Syat Stoma Upadhavet. Which means Chandasa, then what is the meter? Chandas. Okay? And what are all those? What are the group of mantra which go with it? One mantra. What is the meter of the mantra? Then yam disham abhishtoshyan syat tam disham upadhavet. Then may one remember the direction. Okay, yam disham dik. Dik means what? Disha means direction. So which is the direction in which this devata is supposed to be present? This is the direction. The later on, Atmanam Antataha Upastritya Stuvita. Then finally, one should remember one's own self. I am the meditator here. May one remember everything. What is the mantra I am beginning with? What are the mantra which go with those mantra? What is the name of the Rishi? Who is the Devata invoked? What is the meter of the mantras? What everything remember. Finally, don't forget yourself. Remember that you are the meditator. Once remember one's own self being the meditator also during the meditation. Oh, I am here. I am the performer of this ritual. I am the one who is going to recite, sing the Shama mantras. I am the meditator here. Okay, remembering one's own self, visualizing one's own self being the meditator is very important. Finally, at last, Kamam Dhyayan Pramattaha Abhyash ஆஷஹ எதஸ்மை ச காமஹ சமருத்தேத யத் காமஹ ஸ்துவீத இதி யத் காமஹ ஸ்துவீத இதி. Then finally he says the last mantra, whatever is the object of what is that desire one really wants to fulfill, what is that wish one wants to fulfill, accomplish. So remembering, so visualizing upon the object of meditation, visualizing upon the desire, the object of his desire, that is also what the last one. May one visualize upon the desire, what is it one desires, what is it one is desirous of accomplishing, what is that which is one is whose one is desirous of accomplishing, fulfilling. So that also one has to remember. So having visualized upon these 9 factors, if a person then performs his ritual, singing the Hava mantras, his mantra, his ritual will be, his singing will be effective. Thereby he can get all his wishes fulfilled. Okay? Therefore it's called what? Kama Purti Upasanam. Iti Chandogya Upanishadi Prathama Adhyaye Tritiya Khandaha Sampurnaha. So with this, the third section of the first chapter of Chandogya Upanishad is over. Look at this, how quickly we finish the whole chapter, whole section is over now. How many meditations are covered? 5 meditations. Then we have to get into the fourth section. So the last mantra and the third section, last mantra, the mantra is repeated. The repetition is for emphasizing. Definitely be clear that when you want to perform a ritual and you see what is that wish you want to fulfill, what is the desire you want to fulfill, that don't forget. Please, you know, thoughtfully remember that what you want to fulfill, what you want to achieve. Therefore, that is emphasized here. This means you are 100% consciously doing what you are doing. So remembering these 9 factors, in this same thing, we can follow in data other things also. Remember how many factors, 9 factors, he has brought in all the 9 factors here in performing a ritual. In singing the Sama mantras, what are all the 9 factors you have to remember? He said that it is the same things we have to follow in our day-to-day life also. When you are doing something, you see where you are going, who you are meeting, what you should be talking to that person, what the purpose of meeting that person, what should not be discussed that time, what alone should be discussed. You know, lots of things, being very clear about what you are going to do beforehand. Upanishad emphasis, that itself is a dhyanam. See, before doing something, being very clear about what you are doing, why you are doing, who you need to talk to, what you should talk to, etc., being very clear about what am I doing. Isn't it? That's why in the very first month, Upanishad, first section, it was said, Vidyaya Karanam, Vidyaya Karanam, Shraddhaya Karanam, Upanishada Karanam, Viryavattaram Bhavati. Remember the sentence, very important sentence. Vidyaya Karoti, Shraddhaya Karoti, உபனிஷதா கரோதி தது வீரியவத்தரம் பவதி. What does it mean? Whatever a person does, when he does it with the knowledge of what he is doing, then when he does it with the total faith in what he is doing, then when he do it with thoughtfully, what he focused attention when he is doing, and whatever he does becomes more effective, highly efficacious. And the same thing Upanishad is presenting here, what now? Even before you do, if you focus on what the fact is, if you focus attention on the factors associated with what you are doing, then whatever you do will be efficacious. And here, the performance of ritual is definitely for the fulfillment of a given desire. In that's why in whole karma kanda, all the rituals are prescribed for what? For the fulfillment of artha kama dharma. So doing is for material ends. For jnana moksha, not doing is not required, knowing itself is required. For artha kama dharma ends, knowing should be followed by doing. What I should do, you must know. Then how I should do, you must know. Knowing what I should do, how I should do, I must do for the result. So no knowledge of the, not knowledge of what I should do, how I should be followed by the very act of doing to get the result. Whereas moksha is what? Knowing itself is enough. No more doing is required after the knowing. So the karma kanda of the Veda prescribes rituals. In many rituals are prescribed, and different many devatas, natural phenomena, and are invoked. Grace of devatas are invoked. Now, for many results. So devatas are many. Now rituals are many, and then the results are many. Ends are many. When devatas invoked are many, rituals are many, mantras are many and different. Devatas are different, rituals are different, ends are different, and all those ends one can accomplish. Any end one can accomplish by doing something is definitely what comes within the realm of artha kama dharma only, not moksha. But to accomplish any end in terms of artha kama dharma, when you are doing something, definitely what? The rituals are prescribed for the performance, and the performance of rituals are always performed for what? For a given specific end. And for that end to be accomplished, before you do it, definitely what? In doing everything, the mantras are recited, the chanting mantras are chanted, and if it is a Samaveda Yajna, definitely some mantras are sung. So when whatever Samaveda mantra you are singing, whoever is devata you are invoking, whatever is the end you are expecting, doesn't matter. Before you do that, sit quietly and visualize upon these 9 factors. Just remember these 9 factors. That's called what now? Samadhyanam, Stomadhyanam, Riddhyanam, Rishidhyanam, Chandasdhyanam, Devatadhyanam, Digdhyanam. Like that, remember all, what is Dhyanam here? Not Dhyanam. Simply focusing only for how long should be remembering? Not very long. Just, remember only that much. So remember all these 9 factors. Then be very clear. I am the meditator here, and I am meditating upon this devata and present in this direction, and with this mantra, for whom he was the rishihi, and for this purpose, this is the desire I want to fulfill by this ritual. Remembering all these things, if a person practices, then does. And his ritual, his karma, his chanting, his singing will be highly efficacious. He'll be blessed with the fulfillment of his desires. Therefore, this visualization contributes for the fulfillment of desires. It is called Kama Purti Upasanam, discussed in the mantras from the 8th to the 12th. So this is the 5th meditation. With these 5 meditations, in this 12 mantra, the 3rd section of the 1st chapter, you know, the 3rd section is over. Now begins the 4th section. Chaturtha Khandaha. Om Itheta Daksharam. Om Itheta Daksharam. Udgitham Upasita. Om Itheta Daksharam. Udgitham Upasita. Om Itihi Udgayati. Tasya Upavyakhyanam. So here, like how we had the very first mantra, again in the 4th section, we are still in the 1st chapter, and we have come to the 4th section of the 1st chapter. In the 4th section of the 1st chapter also is what? Udgita Upasanam. And Udgita Upasanam means what now here? Om. Iti Udgita Upasanam. Again, you know very well, Omkaraha is basically, what is Omkaraha in Rigveda? Here is known as Udgitaha in Samaveda. And here, that Om is taken as an Alambanam here. Again, and when you take Omkara as an Alambanam here, what is it? Omkara is again maintained upon as the Guna Visishta Udgitaha. Guna Visishta Udgita Upasanam. The Udgita is maintained upon as something endowed with some special qualities. What is special? Something great. Ended with some greatness. What is it here? Amrita Guna Visishta Udgita Upasanam, then Abhaya Guna Visishta Udgita Upasanam. Amrita Abhaya. Amrita Abhaya Guna Visishta Udgita Upasanam. First we saw Udgita Upasanam, isn't it? But here Amrita Abhaya Guna Visishta Udgita Upasanam. Here Udgitaha Omkaraha is mated upon as the one endowed with the greatness of being the source of immortality and being the source of fearlessness. Amrita Abhaya Guna Visishta Udgita Omkara Upasanam. What is discussed here? I'll repeat it here. In the 4th section, the 1st meditation is again Udgita Upasanam. But here, Udgitaha, the Omkaraha, is invoked as the one endowed with the glory of being the source of immortality and also fearlessness. Therefore, Amrita Abhaya. Amrita means, Amrita stands for immortality. Abhayam stands for fearlessness. Therefore, Amrita Abhaya Guna Visishta Udgita Omkara Upasanam is presented in the 1st mantra of the first portion of the 4th section. Okay, so here, how can we say that Omkaraha is endowed with the glory of being the source of immortality or means of accomplishing the immortality? Omkara is not the source of immortality. Omkara has the glory of being the means of accomplishing the immortality, thereby fearlessness. The immortality and fearlessness, amrutatvam, abhayatvam, always go together. See, as long as there is one is subject to death, so long will there be fear. How long will there be fear? If we ask, fear is the phenomenon obtaining in the form of a thought in the mind. It's a very important thing. We understand this. We are going to understand only something called fear. Insecurity, anxiety, in fact, all our expressions, behavior is basically is expression of anxiety and insecurity caused by the phenomenon called fear. Fear is a very, very, very subtle natural phenomenon obtaining in the form of a thought in human mind, in all the living beings. The fear is the phenomenon which is naturally there in the form of a thought in the mind. Where is the fear? What is the fear? If you analyze what is the fear, fear is not in physical body. There is no thing called fear on the part of the physical body. The fear is not in any of the sense organs. There is no fear. Fear is a phenomenon obtaining in the form of a thought as part of the mind. And that fear is something which contributes for the anxiety and also what? Insecurity. And as long as there is a fear, there will be kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsariya. There will be jealousy, there will be hatred, there will be anger, there will be passion, there will be attachment, there will be greed, there will be likes and dislikes. All of them are inevitable in the mind where there is fear, where there is anxiety. Nobody can escape, nobody can change, say my mind is absolutely free from anger, desire, likes and dislikes, etc. as long as there is something called fear is. In fact, all these are modified forms of fear only. The fear alone now gets converted into the sixfold emotions which really cause commotion and tension and turbulence in the human mind. Why it is the mental restlessness, agitation is in fact caused by what? In terms of the sixfold emotions, basically are modified forms of the phenomenon called fear. Okay, but the fear is something very, very natural and is not created by us. Therefore, we cannot get rid of the fear. We can undo the fear. We cannot change the fear. Like just as we cannot do anything with the desire, the fear also we cannot undo the fear, give up the fear, get off the fear. Fear can be resolved only by understanding what the fear is, why there is fear. If you understand why there is fear, what the fear is, then the fear will resolve by itself. The only way of resolving the fear is by understanding what this fear is, why this fear is. And the fear is basically caused by the fear of death. It is the death, the very notion that I am subject to death, I am subject to time. I was not there before I was born. I will not be here after the death. Therefore, the death is something change, which is death. What is death? Death is something, a change, inevitable change happen in the part of the material products. the physical body being a material product and death, change in the form of death is something inevitable on the part of the physical body. And the physical, the change which is the nature of the physical body in terms of death, when it happens, it is taken to be the change which happened on the part of one's own self and which is not acceptable for us. Therefore, this is mistaking the body problem as one's own problem due to the ignorance is what is the cause of the fear of death. The fear of death is actually, the death is this cause of fear. I'm very notion, I'm subject to time is the cause of fear. Therefore, this fear will be there as long as one mistakes oneself for the physical body. As long as one has strong identity with the physical body, there will be fear of death. One can accept and embrace death, actually gracefully, when you understand death is something natural thing which is happening as a change which happened in part of anything which is material. Therefore, this is, the fear is there, and as long as fear is there, there's also notion what? I am a mortal is the notion which gives rise to the fear of death. Therefore, this mortality and the fear, the notion of oneself being immortal, subject to mortality, and the fear, they go together. So here, Omkaraha is said to be what now? Is said to be endowed with the glory of being the means of accomplishment of immortality, thereby fearlessness. So we can, when we understand immortality being our own real nature, and knowing one's own real nature being immortality, thereby freeing oneself from the fear of death, thereby becoming, discovering fearlessness as one's own real nature, is possible only in the wake of the knowledge of the self, and for which Omkaraha, the Omkara Dhyanam, when we inquire into the meaning of Omkaraha, we understand the nature of the reality, and thereby when you understand the reality as one's own self, in knowing that one's own self being the reality, by arriving at the reality as nature of reality through Omkara, as the meaning of Omkara, we become free from the fear of death. We take ownership of immortality as our own nature, thereby we become free from fear of death. But Omkara serves as a means of accomplishing the immortality, thereby the fearlessness. And this, how we are not going to see the meaning of Omkara here, but we only understand the Omkara be enjoying, or Omkara being endowed with the glory of being the means of accomplishment of immortality and fearlessness. And that is here, that's what we say, Amrutatva Abhayatva Guna Visishta Udgita Omkara Upasanam. I'll repeat it. Amrutatva Abhayatva Guna Visishta Udgita Omkara Upasanam. If we inquire into the meaning of Omkaraha, we will arrive at the nature of reality, and the reality is of the nature of immortality, timelessness, and reality is of the nature of fearlessness. By arriving at the reality as one's own reality, understanding the nature of reality as one's own real nature, we become free from the fear of mortality, and we become free from the immortality and the fear. Therefore, Omkara is endowed with the glory of immortality and the fearlessness. Omkara itself is not. Omkara is endowed with the glory of being the means of accomplishing the moksha in terms of immortality and fearlessness. Therefore, it's called what? Amrutatva, Abhayatva, Gunavisishta, Udgita, Omkara, Upasanam is the first meditation discussed in the first mantra of the first section of the fourth section of the first chapter. The fourth section first introduces again the Omkara Udgita Upasanam. What is it, Upasanam? Actually, I only introduced the first mantra. We will see the meaning of the mantra. The fourth section will start freshly in the next class. Next Sunday, we will read the fourth section from the beginning. We understand every mantra clearly. Okay, anyway, the Upasanam portion will be a little boring. Doesn't matter, we'll manage. We need to know what is in Chandogya Upanishad, you see. That's why I'm doing all these things. We can't miss these portions.
Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.